Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, as most of you know, I was on vacation this past week. While on vacation, my two-year-old niece learned the game hide and seek. So she would tell us to go hide, and we would hide in very obvious places. It wasn't hard for her to find us. Yet interesting, when she was looking around for us, she didn't so easily find us at all. So in the back of my head, I was thinking, how hard can this be for her to find us? We're right in front of her. But then I also realized it's just not young children who go through this. We, as adults who are so much older and wiser, who of us here has never had the experience that we thought we lost something, and we look all over for it, and lo and behold, it was right in front of us, right beneath our noses, or right in our pockets. So even though it was easily revealed in front of us, we weren't wise enough to see it. We see that happening in Matthew's account here. God's glory is hidden in Christ, for he only appears as a young child here. And yet God's glory is revealed. That's the whole point of Epiphany, where Jesus reveals himself as the glorious Son of God. And for some people in this account, the glory is revealed to them, and yet they refuse to believe it or to act upon it. And for others, they do see God's glory, and they believe it and act accordingly to it. So as we look at this account, let us learn from those men so that we too will be wise to God's glory that is revealed to us. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. The Magi, traditionally known as the wise men, were very likely from the land of Babylon. The Babylonians were just fascinated with the night sky, and they would study the stars. So when the Magi see this one particular and interesting star in the sky, they realize that this star must represent that Christ, the King and our Savior, was born. So they travel all the way to Jerusalem. They meet with King Herod, and they ask where the Christ was born. And when Herod hears this, he becomes disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. But why is Herod so disturbed? And why is all of Jerusalem disturbed with him? It's because King Herod was a ruthless, brutal, murderous king. He was paranoid that someone would assassinate him so that they could become king. He was so paranoid that he even murdered his own wife and some of his children. Because of his actions, the people of Jerusalem hated Herod as their king, and they looked forward to the day that he would die. And so Herod took all the prominent people from Jerusalem, and he had them in jail with the sole purpose that when he died, those people would be killed so that the people of Jerusalem would mourn instead of rejoicing that Herod died. That's how ruthless, brutal, and murderous Herod was. And yet at first glance at this account, it doesn't seem like Herod is acting in that way. He brings the chief priests and the teachers of the law together, asking them where the Christ was to be born. He pulls the Magi aside, and he asks them when exactly the star appeared in the sky. And he tells the Magi to go into Bethlehem, and when they find the child, to report back to him so that he too could worship the Christ. But this was all a lie. Herod had no intention to worship Jesus. He only had intentions to murder Christ the King. That's why the Magi are warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. And when Herod realizes this, he decides to go to Bethlehem and murder every child under the age of 2. Thankfully, the Lord warned Mary and Joseph to leave Bethlehem so that Jesus would not die. But here, we still see that the glory of God is revealed to Herod, and yet he does not believe it. Instead, he tries to murder Christ because he's more concerned about himself being the king. Now, do we see us acting like Herod? We may not be so ruthless and brutal and murderous as Herod, but by nature, we are. By nature, we are enemies of God and objects of his wrath. By nature, we hate God. We loathe him. We have no desire to serve him. And even as Christians, we still see this hostility of our sinful nature in our lives. Think about it. Every time we commit sin, for whom are we committing that sin? We do it for ourselves. Instead of being servants to our King, we set up ourselves as the King of our hearts to do what we want. When things don't happen in our lives as we would like them to, how quickly do we become disturbed with God? And we become angry with him and even possibly hate him instead of turning to him with trust. And we all have that temptation from Satan to completely separate ourselves from God and to murder our faith that we have in him. And so, like Herod, we may not be wise to the glory that God has revealed to us. And Christ, our glorious King of Kings, should use his power to put us to death. But what does Christ do? He reveals his glory to us. Even though we were enemies of God by nature and objects of his wrath, God revealed his grace to us and brought us to faith. Even though we can be so rebellious against God and be disturbed about him and hate him and become angry with him, God does not treat us as our sins deserve. But he forgives us and continues to call us his own. And even though we all have the temptation to separate ourselves from God, he never separates himself from us, but continues to call us back to him. That's the glory that God reveals to us. And let us be wise to that glory, that we fully believe and trust what God does for us. But it's not just Herod who is the only person that God reveals his glory to in this account. God reveals his glory to the chief priests of the law. When Herod asked the chief priest where the Christ was to be born, automatically the chief priests knew the answer. They told Herod that the Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. And yet here's the shocking thing. The chief priests do not travel with the Magi to see this thing that has happened. So even though the chief priests knew this prophecy and they saw the glory of God revealed in the fulfillment of this prophecy, they do not fully believe it, nor do they act accordingly to it. Do we see ourselves acting like the chief priests in our lives? There can be many Bible passages that we automatically know because we have memorized them. Passages that we deeply cherish in our lives. And yet we may not always fully believe what the passages tells us or act accordingly to what they say. Passages such as Psalm 23 that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And yet, we can so easily become afraid. We can doubt. We can worry. We can think that we don't have enough from God. Passages such as when Jesus promised, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And yet, we can think that God has left us, that he has abandoned us, and that he doesn't care about us or what we are going through. Passages such as when Paul wrote, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." And yet, we can have despair that God can't forgive us because of certain sins that we have committed, sins that we wish we could forget, sins that we are ashamed of. And so, like the chief priests, even though we know these passages, we may not fully believe them or act accordingly to them. And yet, what does God do? God does not sit up there in heaven thinking in the back of his mind, "Really? I have to deal with this again? Why do you have such a hard time believing what I have to say? And since you have such a hard time believing what I have to say, I am done dealing with you." No. God does not say that because God is so patient with us. He continues to reveal his glory to us through his word. And by using his word, he assures us that everything that he tells us in his word is true. You are forgiven of all of your sins. Christ died on the cross to remove all your sins from you. And even if you still have some doubt about that, look at what he offers in Holy Communion. Christ himself says and promises, "Take and eat, take and drink. This is my body, this is my blood, given for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins." And since Christ died for our sins so that we could be with him forever, he is always with us right now. Christ does care about what you go through, and he will be there for you no matter what you go through in life. He has not left you. He has not abandoned you, for he says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And since he is always with us, he acts as our good shepherd. We lack nothing from him, for he gives us everything that we need. Therefore, we don't have to worry, we don't have to doubt, and we don't have to be afraid. For even when we do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Christ holds us in his arm to guard and protect us from all danger and evil until that day that we are with him forever. That's the glory that God reveals to us, and therefore let us be wise to this revealed glory so that we fully believe what he tells us and act accordingly to it. But so far, we have only focused on the foolish people in this account, that even though the glory of God was revealed to them, they did not believe it or act according to it. But there is a group of people that were wise to the revealed glory of God, and that's the Magi. What makes them wise is not because of their wisdom. What makes them wise is because they recognize God's glory, they believe it, and they act to it. When they saw the star in the sky, They traveled a far distance, a distance that would have taken them weeks just to see Jesus. When they see him, they offer up their gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. These were some of the best and most expensive gifts that you could offer to someone. And then they worshiped him. Even though Christ was only a young child, they still worshiped him as their God and Savior. Do we see ourselves acting like the wise men in our lives? They traveled a far distance just to see Jesus. And yet sometimes we may not be willing to travel a short distance in a few minutes in our cars to see Jesus in his house of worship. They offered their best gifts to Jesus. And yet our offerings may not always be the best in our first fruits, but just what's left over. Or what we give, we don't do it happily. They worship Jesus. And it can be easy to worship God on a Sunday morning. But every other day of the week, do we always worship him and praise and pray to him in our lives? Or even when we do worship him here on a Sunday morning, we may worship him with our lips, but our hearts can be far from him. And so, dear friends, if we find ourselves acting in this way or feeling this way, remember whom we are traveling to, whom we are giving our gifts to, and whom we are worshiping: Jesus Christ. Jesus traveled a far distance, a distance far greater than the wise men, for he came down from heaven to earth for us to be our Savior. Jesus came to offer to us his best gifts, for he came from the Father full of grace and truth. He came to give us his perfect life and his innocent suffering and death so that we could be found perfect and innocent in God's sight and not die eternally. And even though Jesus may not worship you, he does praise you. He is not ashamed to call you his own. Because think of this. Jesus easily could use angels who are perfect and glorious to reveal his glory to others. But he uses us. So as we serve and worship God faithfully, willingly, and gladly, God will use us to reach out to others, to make them wise for salvation, so that they too can serve and worship God faithfully, willingly, and gladly. Therefore, as we remember Christ and what he has done for us and how he uses us, this is our motivation to travel to him, to offer up our best gifts to him, and to worship him gladly. Therefore, let us not be foolish like Herod and the chief priests of the law, who had the glory of God revealed to them, but they refused to believe it or act accordingly to it. But let us be like the wise men. Let us be wise to the glory that God reveals to us so that we may serve and worship him in our lives. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.